If you were to ask me, hey, I'm doing, what would I say? I can't complain. And I've been saying that for years, and I still say that. If you ask me, I will tell you, I can't complain. Because of certain things that happened, people pressed me and said, I want to know more. I want to really know how you're doing. And so then I tell them, and they wish they hadn't asked. In January of 2008, I began to have problems with my back. And as a result of that back problem, I had numbness in my legs. And the Lord has been really good to me all of my life, and I'm not used to being sick. So I had a little bit of a tough time, but I didn't say anything to anybody for several weeks because I believe the body heals itself. I didn't realize that as you get older, it doesn't do as good as it used to do. But after several weeks and nothing happened, it didn't get any better, I did begin to complain, but only to my wife. And I shared with her that the problems I was having. And by the way, now she's mad at me because I didn't tell her earlier. But and in March, March 13th, I went to my doctor for a routine checkup. And I told the doctor what was going on, and my doctor, who's a lady, Dr. Tony Coombs, and she guessed that I had spinal stenosis. Did I say that right? Okay. And Sam's a massage therapist, and if any of those words I don't know how to pronounce, he'll help me here. But she said, there's no way to tell without having an MRI. She said, your insurance is not going to approve MRI this early in the process. We got to go through all these other things before they'll let us do MRI. So she said, let's have some x-rays. So I went to the hospital and had the x-rays. And several days later, she called me and said, you got several levels of arthritis in your back. But that should not cause the numbness. It'll cause the pain, but it should not cause the numbness. Yeah. What she decided to do was to send me to a neurologist. So while I was waiting for my appointment to a neurologist, a friend suggested that I get on the internet and go to webmd.com and put in my symptoms and see what they said. They said that I had spino, that's what they said. all this stuff is kind of scary to me, and I don't like none of it. But anyway, so we got two guesses now. And I went to the neurologist, and she did all these things. I thought I was being arrested because she said, I want you to shut your eyes and touch your nose. And then she said, I want you to walk with one foot right in front of the other one. And I could do that. So she didn't give me a ticket. No, I mean, she said, she said that was all those things. And she said, you need to slip back on the table. And she hit my knee with the little old hammer and the thing, you know. Flew out. All that worked fine. No problem there. But she said, we need an MRI and an EEG. And since she looked at my insurance, she said, no, your insurance will never approve of an EEG. So we're going to have to just go with MRI. So now I'm waiting for her to ask the insurance and the insurance to approve the MRI. That's where I am right now. But I want to ask you to excuse me using a personal illustration, but I just believe the Bible has something to say about anything. And so I wanted to know what the Bible say about my problem. You know? Now, it doesn't say directly about my problem. It doesn't mention that word in the Bible. Thank goodness. It does say something about why we have sickness. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Beginning with verse 15. Genesis, there goes my notes. If I forget what I'm saying, I'm in trouble, right? And I got a back problem, so I can't pick. No, I'm just teasing. Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die." The day that you eat from it you will surely die. Now in the Bible the word death means separation. And in the Bible death is used two different ways. Spiritual death is when we're separated from God. That's spiritual death. Physical death is when my spirit is separated from my body. That's physical death. Spiritual death is when I'm separated from God. Physical death is when my spirit separates from my body. The fact is, as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, they were separated from God. When they disobeyed God, they were separated from God. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. So they were separated from God. And the process began that their bodies would die. So what God said is, when you eat of this tree, you will become mortal. You will begin the process of dying. The New English translation of the Bible says that the Hebrew means, "Dying, you will die. Dying, you will die." I don't know Hebrew. You had to ask Mike. And so I don't know whether that's a possible translation of that idea or not, but the New English translation says that it means dying, you will die. In other words, the process will start for you to die physically. The reason I kind of like that is because I believe that's what really happens. That we, even as a young child, our things in our bodies die and then they reproduce. There are other things that new life comes. Cells die, and new cells are made. Am I right? Somebody help me. And at some point in the process, when you're young, more cells are made than die. They still die, but more cells are made than die. At some point in your life, they used to say around 25. The last time I checked, it was less than that. But around 25, it changes. Then more cells die than are produced. And so as you get older, it's more difficult to recuperate and recover and all that kind of stuff, and you have more and more health problems. So the reason we get sick and die is sin. The reason we get sick and die is sin. Now, there's not a direct relationship between how much I sin and how much sickness I have. There is not a direct relationship. There is a relationship. I would not get sick and die if sin was not in the world. I would not get sick and die if sin were not in the world. But it does not work out that if I sin more, I am sick more. That is not true. There's no relationship. Sometimes if I am a alcoholic, I drink a lot and have cirrhosis of the liver, there's a direct relationship. My dad smoked between 3 and 4 packs of cigarettes a day and died of lung cancer. That's a direct relationship. But there are people who have lung cancer who've never smoked. There's even people who have cirrhosis of the liver who never drank. So it's not a direct relationship every time, but there is a relationship. We get sick and die because of sin. Look at Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Ezekiel 18, 4. "Behold, all souls are mine." That's important. Stop right there. Realize that's true. God owns it all. So since He owns it all, He has the right to set the standards. Right? Since He owns it, He has the right to set the standards. "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins," tell me, "will die." The soul who sins will die. Now he says the exact same thing, using a little bit different word, in verse 20. the person who sins will die. Then he talks about the fact that you're not going to die because of your father's sin. Son's not going to die because of father's sin. The father's not going to die because of son's sin. You're going to die because of your sins. And so we die because we get sick and die because of sin. That's the reason I have a back problem, that there's sin in the world, that I live in a sin-cursed world. And while I want to complain and gripe about that, the fact is that God has been tremendously good to me all of my life. I'm 61 years old and never had any major problems. I was in a car wreck one time. I had kidney stones when I was 18 and when I was 48. Two times is enough for anybody. But anyway, and everybody after 18, everybody said, boy, you're going to have kidney stones regularly. And the Lord blessed me. I didn't have them again until I was 48. I'm not looking forward to 78, but you know, but the fact is, God has really been good to me. I mean, I've really had good health all my life, and I've not taken care of myself. I've not been on a diet like I should be, and not exercised like I should exercise. And so it is absolutely amazing that God has been this good to me. So I find it very, very difficult even now to complain and gripe, because I know we live in a sin-cursed world that's going to cause us to have physical problems. Now, I don't have any trouble having a pity party for me. I can do that sometimes. You know, just go off in the corner and wish this wasn't happening to me. And I'm around people with sickness all the time, so I realize that's just a part of life. It happens. And while I don't like it to happen to me, the fact is you don't like it to happen to you. Nobody wants to go through that. Nobody wants to have the fact that I am going to get sick and I am going to die. It's going to happen to me because there's sin in the world. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because of sin. Therefore, just as through one man, who was that one man? Adam. Just through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Why did death come? Because of sin. What is sickness? Just a step toward death, that's all. So, sin is in the world because of Adam. Death is in the world because of sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin. Now, he will go on in the rest of that little paragraph to explain that even those who did not sin like Adam sinned still died because of Adam's sin. So we live in a sin-cursed world. Therefore, we live in a world in which there are physical problems and death. That's just what the way it is. And my story that I just shared with you, probably shouldn't, but anyway, my story that I just shared with you is many of you, or most of you, has a very similar story. Most of you that are over 40 or 50 years old can tell me the health problems you've had. Many of them are worse than mine. Some of them are not bad as mine, but nearly all of us with any age on us have some kind of health problems. And the exciting part, the longer we live, the worse it's going to get. Right? You know, I'm probably not going to be 25 again. Probably not going to be able to do the things that I used to do. The only good thing that I know comes from my back problem is that in the next few weeks we're going to need somebody to cut the grass at church, and now I got an excuse. Before I didn't have a real excuse, you know, now I do. So, but the fact of it is we need to face reality. You know, We need to be honest enough to face reality. And we need to do everything we can do physically to help ourselves. We should have a good diet and proper exercise program and a good attitude, and we should all do that. I don't know. I've tried to figure out. I don't know if I can add years to my life or not. I don't know that. But I do know I can add life to my years. Would you agree? If I do the exercise and eat the proper food, have the right attitude, that my years I would enjoy a lot more because I would be healthy and feel better and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure biblically whether I can add any years to my life or not. I just don't know that. I can't find anywhere in Scripture why people die when they do die. I know why they die. Why do they die? Sin. Why do they die when they die? I don't know that. I mean, Jesus trained 12 men, and very soon afterwards, he allowed one of the 12 to be put to death. And, you know, if you have a questioning mind, and I do, you say, why would he invested 3 years in 12 men, and he let somebody kill one of them? Why would he do that? And the answer is, I don't know. I know he's in charge. I know nothing happens outside of his control, but things happen that I don't fully understand, and so I don't know. Now, I still ask questions. Now, I'm still confused about why we park on driveways and drive on parkways. You know, I don't understand that. And so there are a lot of things that I simply don't understand and have questions about and want to question. In fact, I would really like, as an individual, to die with my boots on. Do you know what that means? I don't even wear boots, but do you know what that expression is? I want to be fully going, working, doing all the stuff I want to do and all that kind of stuff, and then just die. I don't want to go through the process of getting sick and getting worse and all that kind of stuff. I just rather just die. I told him. but that's his choice, not mine. You agree? That's his choice, not mine. And everything he allows to happen to me, I believe he works it out for my benefit. Why do I believe that? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Tell me what that just said. Tell me. You can say the same words or whatever. What did it say? We do not lose heart. What does that mean? We do not get discouraged. We do not get down in the dumps. But though our outer man is decaying, what does that mean? The physical body is in the process of dying. The outer man is decaying. He's writing to Christians, he says, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So while my outer man is going downhill as I get older, what should be happening to my inner man, my spiritual being? I should be getting better. And even should be able to use the problems that I have physically to help me spiritually to be more and more like God wants me to be. Now that's tough for me. What I want God to do is just take it away. Just take the problem away. What I'm convinced of is that if he does not take it away, he will go through it with me. If he does not take it away, he will go through it with me. And if he goes through it with me, then while the outer man is decaying, the inner man can be renewed day by day and get better and better and better. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparisons. If I use it right, it will benefit me greatly, spiritually. while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. What's another word? What's temporal mean? Temporary. The things which I can see are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So I should not be discouraged. I should not be down in the dumps. I should not go into my little office at home and sit down and have my pity party and say, I wish this didn't happen to me. I wish I didn't have this problem and all that kind of stuff. I should be saying, I want to focus on the spiritual aspect of my life, the inward part of my life, and I want to use whatever happens to me to strengthen that. And that's what I've been doing every day. Not really. You know, I want to do that. I want to say, whatever happens, that's okay. I'm gonna concentrate on the spiritual part of my life and try to make that grow. Try to make that better. Grow closer to God because of what happened. That's what I want to do. And that's what I hope to do. Some days I have a hard time doing that. Anybody else with me? Sometimes that's tough to do. I want you to realize verse 18. What I can see, what I can touch, is all temporary. It's going to go away. All of it. Therefore, what we should do is to focus on the things that are eternal, which are things that I cannot see. I can't see my soul. I can't see my inner man. But that's where I should put most of my attention. And let me make it very, very clear. I think we should do everything we can to take care of our body because it's the one body that God gave us. Even though I have not done a good job, I still believe that we should have a proper diet, we should exercise, should have a good attitude and all that kind of stuff. I believe that we should do that. But while we are doing that, we also should realize that this thing's temporary. This body is just here for a little while. And no matter what I do, I don't care how healthy I am, you know, I don't care how much exercise I do, I don't care if I don't eat another piece of red meat in my entire life. Lord, don't let that happen. But it doesn't make any difference. I'm still going to die. Somebody said, Lee, you ought to be more positive. I'm positive. You're still going to die. Right? And I think it is very healthy to face facts just like they are. To be realistic and to realize that that every one of us, unless Jesus comes first, we're going to die. That's a fact. You know, I'm always fascinated at the mortality tables. Is that what they are? 2 out of 11 or 2 out of 10? And I said, man, it's 1 out of 1, isn't it? Every person that's born, unless Jesus comes first, he's going to die. 1 to 1. Now, the insurance companies and all that can guess, and they use the figures and statistics and all that stuff and guess how long you're going to live. You ever look yours up? How old I am now and how long they project for me to live? I do want you to know they don't know. If they say you're going to live 15 more years, if I were you, I wouldn't count on it. The fact of it is, we don't know. We do know we're going to die, and we do know that we ought to concentrate and focus and give our primary attention to the eternal part of us. Not neglect the physical part. We should take care of that. We can't ignore that. We're here. God's given us this body. We should take care of that, and we should do the best we can with that. But the fact of it is temporary, and so I need to concentrate and focus on the spiritual part of my life. You need to focus on the spiritual part of your life. Over the years as a minister, I have visited in the home and in the hospital of people who were very, very sickly. and seen some of the most godly people in the world. People whose inner life and whose spirit was alive and well and kicking high. And physically, they could not get her to bed. I pray that that's the way I'll be. I can't promise that a way to, I'll be, because some days I'm not like that. Some days I get kind of down in the dumps. Some days I'd wish the back problem would just go away. And, you know, the more I research it, the scarier I get. Because, man, all this stuff that they say could go wrong with the back problem. And the permanent nerve damage and all that kind of stuff just scares me to death. But what I want to happen is that I concentrate on my spiritual being and saying that's the most important, to make sure I grow spiritually and to use whatever happens in my life to be what God wants me to be. Now, let me admit that I'm a little bit embarrassed that I used a personal illustration, because there's some of you in here who are going through and have been through much, 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 much worse than I'm going through. And have come out smelling like a rose. Because you have used whatever happened to you to grow spiritually and to be more like God wants you to be. So if you ask me, how am I doing? I'm still going to try to say, I can't complain. And you better hope that's what I do say, because it's a long story. And you say, well, Lee, you're lying. I'm not lying. I'm not lying. I can stand right here and see people who have gone through much, 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 much worse than I've gone through. How could I complain? I mean, God's been so good when I haven't always cooperated. I haven't done my part. He's been tremendously good to me. And I just thank Him and praise Him and try my best not to gripe and complain about what comes in my life. Because I know it's going to come. And it's because of, tell me why. Why am I sick? Sin. That's why. You know what takes care of the sin problem? Jesus Christ.